This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
I keep going back into the settings like 10 times looking at this roadcaster. Paranoia. Ba-dum-dum. Good morning. Welcome in to The Joe Gaither Show. How we doing today on The Joe Gaither Show on this... Welcome back. This is the Joe Gaither Show. We're not clicking backspace. We're not going anywhere. You're not clicking backspace. You're right here on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You're right here on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, everywhere that you get the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We appreciate everybody who is checking us out, subscribe, rating, reviewing us on their favorite podcast platform, everywhere that they get us. We love the comments, questions, queries, and complaints. The complaints especially. You can leave us one at JoeGaither6, at Bama Central, at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Or, of course, you can call into the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Oh, well, there's a comment I want to lead the show with, Mason. I want to get your hypothesis on. But before we do, we want to thank Derek Daniel for sponsoring the program and hosting the program. Derek Daniel State Farm, right here off of McFarland Boulevard. We are right past the Tiger Rock on the left. You can call Derek and his team, Red Reese and Victoria, today. They'd be happy to take all of your insurance questions. They'd be happy to give you run your fast insurance quote, auto insurance quote, homeowners insurance, life insurance, boat insurance, renter, really everything in the insurance realm. Derek Daniel and State Farm is there. So make sure you call and run your check on all of your insurances. I know you've all got a bunch of them. You probably haven't checked on them in quite some time. It would be a great time to check your rates. Call them at 205-758-3391. We're here with Mason Woods. We're going to be hanging out with Tom Canterbury of Crimson Tide Sports Network at the end of the program. We'll have him hang out with us toward the very back part. Oh, gosh. You can chime in on the comment section like Everett Osmer. Everett already giving us a great question, hitting you right here. Randy Orton versus Mason Woods. I wonder who would win. Oh yes, I would watch it. I'm taking Mason on the microphone, but Randy wants the bell rings. We appreciate Everett Osmer.
Yeah, I don't know that I could convince those voices not to take me out. Once he starts hearing those voices, it's over for me.
We appreciate Everett Osmer chiming in on the Facebook machine. You can as well, anytime you'd like, on the Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, at JoeGaither6. We love any questions, wrestling, sports, life, whatever you like. Mason, I want to talk about, we'll play our segment with Tom Canterbury towards the end of the program. Alabama softball, huge weekend for softball. Alabama taking on Oklahoma Saturday, Sunday, Monday series. So it's going to be really accessible for you after 8A. You finish 8A, you get over to the Rhodes House, watch Alabama and Oklahoma. And then Monday night, if you are looking for something to do after work, just pop on over to the Rhodes House. That'd be a great little time. It's always fun for me to do something on a Monday night. It's like the worst night of the week to do something. But when there's something on Monday night, it's kind of, fun to me. So we'll hear from Tom Canterbury. I want to look at the beast. I want to look at Dane Brugler's The Beast. I haven't looked at it. It got put out.
Man, oh, man.
I guess 6 a.m., 5 a.m. this morning. If you're not familiar with the Dane Brugler, he is, oh, my gosh, Dane Brugler. what nice things, what like effusive praise can I pour onto Dane Brugler of The Athletic, who has, this is third, fourth, fifth year of the Beast. I think it's at least third. I think it's fourth or fifth year of the Beast. And if you don't know anything about the NFL draft, if you're like I am and you only watch Alabama and you're like, who are these jokers? This document is worth the entire subscription to The Athletic.
It's the whole reason I subscribe. I mean, quite literally. I do read a lot of the content, sure, but this is what is getting my money. This is when I feel, okay, every year this comes out, I'm like, I'm glad I paid for my monthly subscription for the last 12 months.
So I want to look at the Beast and I want to see what he says about the Alabama players. Are you subscribed? Are you logged in and subscribed?
I'm getting it pulled up here.
All right, perfect. Why don't you do that? I'll set up this comment that we got on our YouTube yesterday that I want to get your theory on. It may just be different strokes for different folks, maybe. But we get a comment yesterday. Look, you can comment as much as you want, and you can tell us that we stink. That is a-okay. But I want to ask you, Mason, Jeff Horn on the Twitter machine, on the YouTube machine, on Bama Central's YouTube. Not a good show today. From yesterday, which is fine. I said, thanks so much for watching. What didn't you like about it? So remember, yesterday we talked Modi Abate going to Kentucky. We talked Jalen Milroe being used as the NFL's pawn, and we talked everything I saw and heard at spring practice. I'll be honest with you. The unnamed person that I talked to. That is absolutely real. I don't want to that was so out of character for me. I walked up to someone at practice thinking, man, I'm not seeing much. I'm just going to BS with this person. And I know who this person is. I know that they've been at practice for the last couple of weeks. And maybe he's not going to say anything. Maybe he's just going to say, hey, how are you? Good to see you. that was my risk. I'm sorry, Jeff. I did that for you to talk to that fella. I mean, feel like there was some decent intel about the quarterbacks getting kind of selected. This is your day to be with the ones. This is your day to be with the ones, sir. And then mixing Keelan in with, I thought that was a pretty decent little nugget. I don't know. Well, why do you think, look, it could be, we just don't like you, and that's okay. Yeah, that's cool. No problem. Other shows, great. Where do you think we failed yesterday? Where do you think we dropped the ball yesterday? Did I not give the Alabama spring practice its due respect?
Is this one of the spring football diehards that I was pining about on the show yesterday that needs to still take a step back and let's think about things here, buddy?
Oh, hey, man. You saw what happened on social media yesterday, and Hunter DeCiver, not your fault. My man Hunter is at practice like the rest of us, filming like the rest of us, and he catches gold. Great job, Hunter. Really great job. Hunter catches Kane Womack ripping Ivan Taylor. Stop bleeping guessing. You're going to give up a bleeping touchdown. Blah, 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 blah. Losing his mind. Great stuff, Hunter. A+. But and Hunter literally says something to the extent of
some tough love, I think. Yeah.
Defensive coordinator, tough coaching, gets after freshmen. Mm-hmm. What he sees. Great job. And people, the defense is back. The Alabama defense is back. Oh, the defense is back. We cannot hold on. Wasn't the defense good last year?
Yes, the defense was great last year. What did you people watch? Everybody always get Oklahoma. That was one game, and they played great that game.
They gave up one one drive.
Come on,
and then you get put on the goal. You get put on the goal line. Okay, of course we want to force a field goal there, but dear Lord, it's on the 2 yard line.
Yeah. They were put in as bad of a situation on basically every drive, worst possible scenario every drive essentially. That defense was great last year. Back is such a weird thing because they weren't gone. They were here last year. They were great.
Brought it back last year,
last season. The defense is already back. It's been back. Very strange. It's like I just don't know.
This is the standard of being back. This is you're the new freshman. We are back, and this is how we do things now.
Yes.
On this Swarm D.
It feels like me and you watched something different than what the rest of these fans watched when we watched this team last year, and I just don't understand where the disconnect is. This defense was great. Defense will continue to be great, most likely. Defense was not our issue last year.
I mean, you can complain about little things, sure. We complained about quarterback run a lot, but like on the whole, it was
A minus.
Yeah,
A.
Yes, and it was the best Alabama defense in how long? One, two. The 2020 defense really wasn't even that good. I don't even think it was dominant. The 2020 defense was adequate. The offense was insane. I think this was the best defense. I mean, I did this with Theo the other day. My memory all runs together, so I'm probably going to like miss some obvious number. But since 2018?
Yeah, that was the next place I was thinking. I mean, because like you said, 2020, I mean, it was mostly about the offense that year. That offense was so ridiculously explosive. Defense didn't really have to do a whole lot other than just not lose the game. You know, they didn't have to really actively win anything for them. This is certainly the best defense we have seen, I think, you know, over the last 2 years. It is the best defense we've seen in a long time. And Womack at the helm.
It's because he's cursing them out. That's why. They weren't cursing them out before.
Nick Saban never cussed at a player. Not once.
Perfect.
Never.
Good job, Billy. That's okay. It's all right.
Tell you what, go get you some watermelon slices or some cantaloupe slices on the sideline. We got some cookies for you over there. It'll be okay. Go take you a breather, buddy. We get you a cup of Gatorade. We'll get you back out here next time.
What do they think these coaches are doing?
I don't know. I don't know. Kane Womack is not talking to these players any differently than any other defensive coordinator that has come through Alabama has before. His scheme is what is better. His tendencies are what are better. Like, it is not him cussing at Ivan Taylor that is making this defense elite.
I mean, we're talking about a player who played SEC football, Kane Womack, whose father coached SEC football. Like, the language is not any different than it was 50 years ago. Like, it's just a little different schematics, but the passion is still there.
Yeah, that should not be your indicator that, oh man, this team is tough, because that's happening. That is happening at every program across the country. The athletes.
Gosh darn it, Billy! They're all getting the gosh darn it, Billies. The other comment, I didn't get this on on my show, but we get this on a lot of the practice videos. We get, they better not be serving soft serve ice cream. That ice cream truck last year is stuck in the Alabama fan base's mind. And it's like, brother, it was 118 degrees. It was his first fall. He's trying to like, come on guys. He's like, this is about, this is like base level team building before I turn it, before I turn into the Terminator and really try to like make you guys do something. Like, I got to get you on my side first.
I hope he brings out an entire like ice cream buffet, takes over the whole practice facility, lets them do a whole Sunday buffet.
Coach, tomorrow when we're over 4 hours, I'll take an ice cream sandwich.
There we go. I don't even know what to say. Like, it is so, people hang their hat on the weirdest little things and decide, like, that's my opinion.
They were playing music yesterday, Mason. But I will say this. We got to give the Alabama fan base a lot of credit, a ton of credit. Well done. I haven't seen anything about music in a long time.
This is true.
Great job. Literally, like, they finally gotten over that hill. Like, all right, the guys can listen to Back in Black at practice. Like, it's not like they're out there.
These are elite high-level athletes that are playing at, I mean, just under the highest level of their sport. For you to think that they're not taking this stuff seriously is insane. A little bit of music's not going to hurt anybody. God forbid Ryan Williams has an ice cream cone. I think it's going to be okay.
Oh, Ryan wasn't participating where we saw. So, we got Ryan in bubble wrap right now.
That's what he needs. Where he needs to be.
Bubble wrap and to the weight room. Weight room, bubble wrap, training room. Like, whatever. Like, not saying he's weak, but like just maintenance. That's fine. Right. Yeah. That's all it is. All right. So, Mason, where could we have failed yesterday? Let's bring it back. Come on, Jeff. How do we? I commented, and Jeff, look, if you want to leave a comment, you can comment anything you want. Joe, you don't look, whatever. I don't care. It's fine. But I will respond and ask why or what or how, because I do want to get better. So, Jeff, I responded, what were you not happy with? You can just pop it right there on the YouTube. I know you're going to watch this already today because you comment pretty frequently, and I really appreciate that. Mason, what did we miss yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, was there a transfer portal prospect that he likes that we didn't talk about? Was there... did we not give Modi enough respect? Were we not mad enough with Modi? Is that the issue?
Jeff, my heart is broken. Let me just tell you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a classy fella, but my heart is broken.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still hurting about that. I still am sick to my stomach at the thought of seeing Modi in blue and white. That's awful. What was it?
I don't know. I'm pulling up the beast, I'll let you hypothetical real quick. What do you think it might have been while I pull up my beast?
Spring football is the thing that really seems the biggest to me. It's got to be that. And look, you're not going to make me care more about spring football. I'll tell you right now, Jeff. We talked about it yesterday. There is more and more young players getting reps than there ever has been in this spring. That continues to go to show you that. This is not super consequential on what's going to happen this fall. It's going to be okay. Oh, man. That's the only thing I can think of because, you know, we were a little hard on it. But still, again, it's just not that deep. It is just spring football. It is just a time to get the guys back on the field, let the new guys get their feet wet a little bit, get a taste of SEC football, get a taste of Alabama football. The real team building, scheme implementing and things that is going to happen in fall camp.
Well, they've definitely
changed it up.
Yes, absolutely. So
it took me like three different pages to get to the PDF.
Yeah, I want to keep the password. Okay, hold on. Let me find. There it is. There's the password. The beast with all those funny characters. Yeah. Okay, where was I?
Look, Command C, Command V. I'll get you there.
See this the PDF version looks cool, but I don't want to mess with it right now because
it's 523 pages.
Right. Okay, there we go.
I've got the quarterbacks pulled up here in the PDF version.
So let's go to Milroe because that's where we've been the last couple of days discussing. He has him as fifth.
Mm-hmm.
He's got him as their fifth as the fifth overall quarterback. All right, Cam Ward, Chador Sanders, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shough. Is that how you say his name?
Shough, I think.
Wow, Joe, bad job. Tyler Shough ahead of Jalen Milroe and Quinn Ewers, ahead of Kyle McCord, Will Howard, Dylan Gabriel, Riley Leonard, yada, yada, all the way down. I don't care about what you say about Cam or Shador or Jackson. I really want to know what you said. Here we go, right there. Jalen Milroe. This is Dane Brugler from The Athletic. To me, I think it's the most comprehensive draft guide that there is. So if you're looking for any draft information, I would say skip everything else and just go to the beast. I'm just going to read his. This is two paragraphs, three paragraphs, because I think that usually in these paragraphs, my experience is that we learn something about these prospects. And even though we've been with Jalen Milroe for the last four years now, I think we're about to learn something in these four paragraphs. Tompkins High School, December 13th, 02. Okay. All right. Jalen Milroe, who is one of three children, I love this, who's one of three children, two boys, one girl, was born in a naval base in military family. His father, Quentin, was a United States Marine Corps, 99 to 03, and was part of the first wave deployed to Iraq a month after Jalen was born. Wow. His mother was in the medical field for the Navy. After both of Milroe's parents retired from the military life, the family moved from Maryland to Katy, Texas, just outside of Houston. One of Milroe's first football memories is seeing highlights of Vince Young lead Texas to the national championship. Milroe got his start for the Pee Wee Ravens as part of the Katy Youth Football League and dreamed of being an NFL quarterback. His father was passionate about his son playing quarterback, and the two bonded through daily practice. Jalen has Quentin tattooed across his right arm, his dad's name. In sixth grade, Milroe played for the Football University Sun Devils. His father was the coach and helped lead them to the national championship. Milroe enrolled at Obra D. Tompkins High School in Katy and played for the freshman team in his first season. He moved up to varsity, became a starting quarterback, transferred a team that had gone 0-10 in 2017 and led them to 10-3, finishing in 2018. He was the district's newcomer of the year. He had 1,400 passing yards, 613 rushing yards, and 20 total touchdowns. This is as a sophomore in high school. As a junior, Milroe was named district MVP, leading Tompkins to 11-2 and the quarterfinals of the 6A playoffs. Finished the junior year with 2,600 passing yards, 29 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions, adding 7 rushing touchdowns and one touchdown catch. As a senior, Milroe led Tompkins to 10-1, losing the playoff semifinals, and snapped a 75-game winning streak, a losing streak, at least from his perspective, to Katy High. Milroe posted 1,200 passing yards, 300 rushing yards, and 18 total touchdowns his last season. All right, we're moving on. Tompkins was not known as a strong football school, but the program went 31-6 during Milroe's 3 varsity years. Also ran track as a sophomore. The 4-star recruit ranked 13th overall quarterback in the 21 class and the 14th overall recruit in Texas, one spot ahead of Garrett Nussmeier. Before taking a varsity snap, he drew his first scholarship offer from Texas State. His recruiting skyrocketed after his sophomore year with offers from Alabama, Florida, and several others. In June of 19, Milroe receives an offer from Texas, the program he'd idolized growing up, commits a month later. After Quinn Ewers commits to Texas, Milroe felt like the coaches cooled on their interest in him, decommitted 3 days later, and flipped to Alabama. He was the 14th ranked recruit in Nick Saban's 21 class. Milroe graduated cum laude, 3.52 GPA, with a degree in business and entrepreneurship, then achieved a master's degree in sports management. He was awarded the Campbell Trophy, known as the Academic Heisman, the second player in Alabama history to win it, following Barrett Jones in 2012. Won the 2024 Pop Warner Little Scholars Award for his work in the classroom and the community. Milroe elected to skip his senior season. He invited and accepted his invitation to the Senior Bowl. All right, strengths. Electric ball carrier. I mean, we know these strengths. Let's look at what he says is the weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Weaknesses. Makes receivers work too often because of erratic ball placement. Completed just 52% of passes on third and fourth downs. The money down, folks. Inconsistent pacing and footwork. That's a huge.
That should be number one.
Yes. Upper body mechanics and eyes often on different pages. That's the biggest part. Yeah, I would put that number one. More see it thrower than anticipation passer. Stares down initial targets. Inefficient, eliminating things quickly mid read. Few examples of him manipulating defense on tape. So not very much of that. Poor quick game touch. Misses too many layups. Guilty of peeking at the rush and bailing out too early. More interceptions than passing touchdowns on the road in 2024. Smaller hands. Fumbled 29 times over the past 3 seasons. Summary. A 2-year starter at Alabama, Milroe was a dual-threat quarterback in head coach Kalen DeBoer's vertical-based offense. Though he showed gradual promise in 2023 under play caller Tommy Reese, his 24 tape was much more of a roller coaster of unpredictable highs, Georgia and Wisconsin. Golly, that Wisconsin game. When he had that Wisconsin game, I thought, oh my gosh, DeBoer fixed him. It's going to be just get out of the way. Watch out. He's cured. It's going to be unstoppable. And lows, Tennessee and Oklahoma. After that Oklahoma, I never wanted to watch him play football again. I'm sorry. He had 20 rushing touchdowns, but 10 interceptions and just 5 passing touchdowns in SEC play. A dangerous weapon in zone read, options, and powers. Milroe is an explosive athlete with speed to rip off big gains at any moment. 20% of his 2024 carries resulted in gains of 10 yards or more. As a passer, the ball shoots out of his hands to drive the ball to every level, but he throws with too much heat and needs to develop his changeup. His disjointed mechanics disrupt the rhythm of his drops, which lead to the inconsistent accuracy, anticipation, and processing. Oh, Dane Brugler, I love you. Overall, Milroe is unpolished as a passer, both physically and mentally, but he is a dynamic athlete with a unique blend of speed, arm strength, and intelligence, making him an intriguing developmental option for a patient coaching staff. His upside is tough to measure, but is higher considering he has the tools to switch positions if his time at quarterback doesn't pan out. What do you think of old Dane and his report?
I think he's about 98% accurate. I don't quite know that he has the tools to play any other positions, really, because we've talked about his inability to really make people miss in the open field or make, you know, kind of juke moves and things. He's really just kind of a straight line speed guy. And I don't know how much of a role there is for that other than maybe like a wide receiver, but then you've got small hands and you fumble a lot, so we're probably not going to put you there.
Keep it going on a Wednesday edition of the Joe Gates.
What am I hearing?
Sorry. I was getting the next thing set up. Sorry. Go ahead. I interrupt you. Go ahead.
But yeah, I just think...
Sorry.
I just don't see any real prospects for him at other positions. He's not shifty enough to play running back. His hands are small and he probably can't catch that well. He fumbles a lot, so he's probably not going to play wide receiver. He's also not, again, you know, still can't really make people move. So like, what are you going to put him on go routes a couple times a game? Is that really enough for a roster spot? You know, is that really worth keeping him on the roster? I don't know. I think he nailed it with all of the weaknesses. I think all of those are extremely accurate about Jalen Milroe. You know, I'm looking at the strengths. Some of those are, they are accurate as well. But when you read those strengths, not many of those like grew up in strict upbringing with military parents. What does that translate to the football field?
This is all superlatory.
Yes.
Two-time team captain. Great. Cool. Played with competitive calm to his game.
Does that mean he can hit a 50-yard deep ball?
Like, I honestly don't think that's accurate.
I don't either.
That part. I think competitive calm when things are going good, high RPM arm strength to easily make far hash throws with stationary feet. I do agree with that. I think that like if you told him you're on the left hash, you got to throw to the right sideline,
he can get it there.
And like this is a throw. But make him make that decision in with under fire.
Oh, I think he lined up really well. Why Jalen Milroe was was a good college quarterback. You know, you can scheme to make Jalen Milroe look pretty good in college. Once you get to the NFL and the things like his inaccurate throws, there's going to be a safety coming over to pick that off. There's going to be a corner that picks that off. You know, you don't really have these issues in college as much because the defenses are just not as good. The players are not as fast. They're not as athletic. When you get to the NFL, there is so much less room for error than there is in college that he just, no matter what the scheme is, he's not going to be able to hit the open throws even if they're there.
I'm in love with this second to last sentence talking about his throwing. His disjointed mechanics disrupt the rhythm of his drops, which lead to inconsistent accuracy, anticipation, and processing. I think understanding that, how do I make this? People talk about, well, he's got a good arm. Yes.
A lot of people do.
If people talk about, I've seen it. His deep ball is great. Yeah. It starts right here. Disjointed mechanics. But it goes right in. Disrupt the rhythm in his drops. The mechanics, like everything starts, you're under center and I'm a five-step drop, I'm a seven-step drop, I'm a three-step drop, or if I am... Hell, in shotgun, it's a no-step drop. It's a one-step drop. Like, you've got... And the way the play... I mean, you've all seen it. You hold on just 1 second too long, the slant window's slant window's closed. It is I am stepping, one step and rip. One step and rip. Even the check down to Dupree and Robbie Oots over the last year, the 6-yard hitch route. Right, exactly. You've got the 5-6-yard hitch route sitting right over the ball, and it's there as your safety net, buddy. You know, but I'm sitting here waiting, watching. Maybe one will come open. Maybe two will come open. Maybe I'll never get off number one. Oh, crap, I'm getting sacked. Robbie Oots, C.J. Dupree, save me. The rhythm, the timing, it's not understanding how I think he does understand. I'll say that. But it's not being able to take the understanding and conceptually apply it to a place where I am the maestro for the other 10, not the other 10
are helping me. You know, you remember us, you know, waxing poetic about Dylan Lonergan, AI quarterback. Jalen Milroe lacked like all of that. That just quick. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know exactly where I'm going. Like he didn't really have that. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it is stubbornness on his part to any, you know, just.
I think it's trust.
Yeah.
You know, you get a high low read, right? You say it's a drive concept, right? You get a crosser on the bottom, you get a crosser in the mid read. You're playing split game with the linebacker, right? So it's drive. It's easy, brother. You're watching like one player.
Yeah,
I'm watching the linebacker. Linebacker creeps up, takes the shallow. I am hitting the back guy. And of course, you definitely have more players at play.
Sure.
If you've got the other 10 players at play. But this is a one read system right here. You go hitch and go on the outside. Two's running a hitch, one's running a go. You're reading in the corner. He sits on the hitch, you throw the go ball. He bails with the go, you throw the hitch. Like it is.
There's a reason these concepts have been around for decades.
You can read one player on the defense and, hey, buddy, we can get it out right now based on this one player, what he's doing. It's like you never trusted it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was certainly part of it. And you saw that a little bit with the amount of times that he was hitching his throws and, you know, I don't know.
I ask you this. How in the world do you operate as Tommy Rees or as Nick Sheridan with that? And I'm not trying to sit here and be like, oh, Jalen was bad. It was like, was objectively like a bad player. He's not a bad player, but like when you're any offense, I don't care what system we're running, triple option, mm-hmm. West Coast, it doesn't matter. Like there's a system and a structure and like timing to everything. But you're calling plays and you're sitting here thinking, I don't know if the timing is going to work out. Mm-hmm. How tough is that? The plays that you think that, like, what do I know I can rely on? Read option. Pin and pull. Mm-hmm. Screen. Like, people talk about the how bad Tommy Rees was and, you know, getting on Nick Sheridan's case this year. But, like, think about it. The guy who has to know it best and has to make it just seem and hum is out there thinking. Is out there thinking so much that he cannot. Yeah. He's missing the. I don't know. I'm getting out of. I'm getting off the rails. I'm sorry. I'm taking a breath, deep breath because I'm getting off the rails.
What is it? Paralysis by analysis. That was Jalen Milroe. It felt like on basically every down this year. Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, we said it yesterday. We'll say it again today. I don't see Jalen Milroe as an NFL quarterback. Just is what it is. Just objectively speaking, I do not think that he will be an NFL quarterback.
Now, Dane doesn't do a mock draft. His is just analysis. I know this is the worst person to go look for. But Mel Kiper, do you have Jalen anywhere in your? All right, one and two rounds. One and two. Here we go. Control F M I L Milroe. He has him at. All right. See, this is exactly what the NFL wants. This is one day ago from Mel Kiper Jr. He has Jalen Milroe going number 34 to the New York Giants. This is exactly what they want. They want Jalen Milroe sitting in the green room, looking at his phone, stressing. Do not do this,
Jalen Milroe and Jameis Winston in the same quarterback room. For America, that might just be
a huge positive or huge negative. What do you think?
I honestly don't know. I think they would play off each other well. But part of me thinks that both of them would think the other one was being like insincere with it.
Yeah.
You know, like Jalen would think Jameis was hamming it up a bit and vice versa. So they might bump heads a little bit. I don't know though. New York also the two of them in New York as well. Like that media. That's
Jalen will bring those media members to their knees. They don't look.
They don't know what they're dealing with.
Exactly.
They do not know what they're dealing with.
They will get 1-0'd to death, and they will not know how to, because
they won't get anything out of it.
for just my selfish perspective, that I would love to see that happen.
That would be very funny.
It would be so Jalen, you lost to the Cowboys, another divisional game, and it'd be just people losing. Right. Well, just want to focus on the control the controllables. We just try to control the controllables. And, you know, when Micah Parsons running down on you, you just, it all falls back to the level of training. And so, you know, it's just going to be all just. You'll have New York media members quitting. That's how nicely I'll say it. You have New York media members contemplating their future.
If Jalen does go there and somehow wins that starting job, it'll be weekly pieces of the New York Giants need to bench Jalen Milroe in favor of Jameis Winston.
He'll never get away from it. He will never get away from it. Until he does what Jalen Hurts did.
Yeah, basically.
Because for a long time, it was, you just went to Oklahoma because you just Tua ran you off. Okay, one quarterback plays, sure. Whatever. And then it was, well, rah, rah, rah. I can remember draft night for Jalen Hurts' year. People on the radio, still on the day of the draft, he's not going to get drafted. Da, da, da. He's gonna not going to be a quarterback. I'm like, he's going to be a top three pick. He's going to be a quarterback. Sorry.
What did he end up getting picked?
Second round to the Eagles, right? Yeah, 38? So. Right.
Early or late 30s, yeah. Yeah, I've seen so many people try to compare these two. These are two such wildly different prospects.
Right, the issue, the skill issue, the deficiency is very different. Mm-hmm. The skill, the deficiency is very different. I think Jalen Hurts has had and has a deep understanding of football and of the timing. I think what happened at Alabama, I think Nick Saban scared the hell out of him. I think Nick Saban scared the ever-living mess out of him.
Do not turn it over.
Your freshman quarterback, your defense is on the – how good was the 16 defense?
Golly.
And, of course, freshman offensive player of the year in the SEC and SEC offensive player. So like, he didn't – he wasn't as careful the first year, sure. But he got – It was freshman Jalen Hurts. This is who he is. And then it became, he reduced himself year after year. After year. It was, I'll be a little less because I had less risk. And then it became, I'm not even throwing the football.
Yep.
I'm not even throwing the football. I'm running right at the back of my offensive lineman. And okay, great. We can all acknowledge that. But the.
Got to Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley told him, let it loose.
Exactly. It wasn't a skill issue. Mm-hmm. It's not a, it's all, I hate to say it, but he was coached into overly careful because you're a freshman. You don't want to lose the game. You all these seniors, you got great defense, yeah. Great running backs. And then by the time you get to, what is it, against Clemson and you kind of boxed in.
I can't fathom the pressure of being a true freshman starting quarterback at Alabama. And, you know, just the weight that comes with that, like having to juggle that as well as also like just developing as a player, developing in your craft. That was not easy for Jalen Hurts to handle that freshman year.
You saw him play the SEC title game with anticipatory passing, something that we thought, maybe that he can't do it. Mm-hmm. I think Nick Saban basically told him, unless it ain't wide ass open, you better be right. And if you're not right, I'm going to rip you up. And so
he just browbeat him to death.
And I think Jalen wanting to be right and wanting to be the best leader for the football. Sure, I won't throw it unless it's wide bleep open.
Team first guy.
He goes. He develops over the year. He shows you anticipatory. Like basically, when you're in that Georgia game, buddy. Sorry, you turn it over. Fine, whatever. Like we're already up a creek without a paddle. Yeah. Like go play. And so he does. And then out of Oklahoma, shows the same sort of thing. Finishes second in the Heisman Trophy. Doesn't show real issues with being able to. Sure, you've got to clean things up, but on the whole, I can read a defense. I can play quarterback. The difference. Like, Jalen, I think you're always scheming things, always to, hey, how can I make this easy on you, bud?
The path to making Jalen Milroe Jalen Hurts a serviceable NFL quarterback was much shorter than the path to making Jalen Milroe a serviceable NFL quarterback. You know, like you said, he just had a couple of things to clean up, a little bit of polish to add on it. Jalen Milroe, there are deep mechanical problems that you have to fix. You have to like actually break him down to the base of playing quarterback and change the way that he does things because it doesn't work.
How did that work for Tim Tebow and his career? Yeah, he
still holds the record for the lowest completion percentage over one season, 49% or something, 51 maybe.
And I don't want to hear you say, well, you won a playoff game. Yes, you won a wild card game with the Broncos and basically was out of the league right after that. So, I don't know. All right. What do we have, Mason? I've got...
Look at linebackers now. Just to tell you, Jihad Campbell does have him ranked number one, which who doesn't have Jihad Campbell as a number one linebacker?
We just went 40 minutes. Let's save the next prospect for the next day.
I didn't realize we went that long.
Yeah, I know. Man. I know. I'm looking at the timer like, ooh, we got to move. Because I've got basketball portal stuff. I've got LeBaron Filon.
I don't think there's much to talk about with Jihad anyway. Everybody knows he's a stud.
Monster. You know? Chicago. 10. I know it's crazy, but who cares? It'll be fine. It'll work out fine. Okay. Let's take 2 seconds. Thank Warren Tyron Auto. Then we will shout out our man Harrison. And Harrison's got a bad message for the Alabama fans who he won our bracket challenge. And then he said, "Hey, will you shout this out for me?" And he won, so I will. But first, we're sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto. Major tongue tied. But first, we're sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto. They've been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership. Warren Tire and Auto is the go-to place for all of your automotive needs. They've got two great locations to serve you. If you're looking for tires, brakes, and alignment, you can get that done on 15th Street. Call them at 205-759-5505. If you're looking for front-end work, engine work, oil change, all kinds of automotive needs right there on University Boulevard. We do tires, brakes, and alignment on 15th Street. We do all of the other work on University Boulevard right there by the hospital, right there by Nukes. You can find them right there by Nukes, and you can call them at 205-758-2739 for all of your automotive needs.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
All right, Mason Woods, we did have a good showing. We ended up with, looks like, 163 people.
Pretty good.
In our bracket challenge. I finished 159. So not last, but next to last. So very, very bad. I'm not ashamed of that one bit because I took some risks with some upsets. If I had stuck with the bracket that I filled out on the Sunday night, I would not have finished 149. It wouldn't have been first, but it would have been, you know, 80, 120, something like that. I don't know what I finished. Doesn't matter.
Wasn't winning, though.
But Thursday, I wake up and I'm like, I don't like this pick. I don't like that pick. I like that pick. And by the time I'm done, I have Alabama is winning my national championship. I'm like, yeah, I like it. Done.
It just always happens, you know?
Because I think I had Florida on the Sunday. I might have had Houston because I wanted to be a little different. But then, by the Thursday, I'm like, not that. Crimson Tide national champions. Roll Tide. And I'm in last. All right. But our man, Harrison Montague. You can find him all on the Twitter machine. What is your Twitter? Harrison Montague, all one word. I already shouted him out. I already tweeted him out. But he won our money. It looks like he won a handful of bracket contests because he was tweeting several other people. He wasn't
put
rude.
Together a pretty good bracket.
Yeah, and he says, "Totally forgot." But can you, because I said, oh, yeah, you can leave a voicemail if you want to gloat to the fans, but I'll give you a shout out tomorrow on the show. And then this morning, early this morning, he was up probably celebrating his wins. Mm-hmm. So totally forgot, but give my San Diego State Aztecs a shout out if you could.
I must applaud you. That is good. That is good. That is
My heart. That's good.
That's rich. That's rich.
That man just put me right back on that 7-hour drive back from Louisville. I woke up driving in my mind, driving back from Louisville. I woke up. I was not in the media section on the floor. I was in the media section in the auxiliary that day, and thankfully there was no one up there, so I became a bit of a fan. Oh, Harrison, you got me. But congratulations, sir. Well done on your bracket challenge, winning our bracket challenge. Thanks to everybody who participated, sending it to their friends. The idea was to help grow the show out, and hopefully we gained one follower.
Sure.
You know, my man, Levitard, if you got zero followers and you gain one follower, you're growing fast. Absolutely. So a lot of fun in the bracket challenge. We will do it again next year. Maybe, ideally, my thought is get a sponsor out and double the money. I'll throw my quarter in. The sponsor will throw their quarter in, and it'll double the money and double the pot. And yeah, that's the idea. That's pretty good. All right, so on the basketball train, I find this a little bit interesting. We spent, 10 minutes yesterday crying about Mohamed Diabate, and I think that those were legitimate tears.
I went home and shed more real tears.
I hope Melissa put patted you on the back. And
tears are comforting in this trying time.
Good. Melissa, well done. Well done. A little hot tea for Mason, something like that. I find this interesting as we're upset about Mohamed Diabate. What's the status of the 2023-2024 Alabama basketball roster? We were upset about Ryland going to the portal. We've debated that. That's not really the issue here. I don't know that we were upset about Pringle or Davin Cosby going in the portal or Chris Parker going to the portal, but look, they all win. I'm pretty sure they're all, five of the seven players, unless they're out of eligibility, are back in the portal. Mm-hmm. So
I think I saw the only ones that stayed were because they like had gone there to be with their families or be closer to their families or something like that.
Right. Hey. So, Mason, do we need to pump our brakes from yesterday and say maybe trust Nate Oates is, hey, you can go, this person can stay, we'll pay for you, we won't pay for that. I don't know. I don't know what happened behind the scenes with Modi and the program. I know what I have inferred, and I inferred that yesterday, and I stand by that. But I'm wondering if, hey, look at what happened to the 2023-24 roster, and look at all those jokers back in the portal again, because either didn't work out or wants more money again or didn't find the right situation, whatever.
Sure.
I mean, Davin Cosby's going from Wake Forest to Kennesaw State because I don't know what happened to Wake. I did not watch a single second of Wake Forest this year, but I know he's going to Kennesaw State because Coach Pettway believes in him. Coach Pettway recruited him. And so we are going from Alabama to Wake Forest to Kennesaw State, and maybe he all along was a Kennesaw State type player, not at Alabama, you know. Lisa. But point being, he went to Wake Forest and didn't excel, and he's not transferring to Wake Forest and going to Duke. He's not transferring to Wake Forest and going to Carolina. Mm-hmm. Do I need to pump? So here we go, and wrap it up and throw it to you. Do I need to pump the brakes, getting upset about some of these current transferees?
I think we maybe should. I think we should maybe just trust Nate Oates. You know, the man does know a lot more basketball than you or I do. Probably more basketball than the two of us combined, even. I think we should just, I guess, trust in Oates. You know, we have to. There was obviously a reason that he felt comfortable in letting Mo D walk, whether it was a pure, strictly monetary thing, I don't know. I imagine there was an aspect of like, well, what are we really going to be getting from you? Because you're not going to be, like we said, just not a starter. He was always going to be a man off the bench. So, you know, I'm sure there's a multitude of factors that played in there, but I think we just have to trust Nate Oates, just trust that he made the right decision there. I think it's really should be just more of a cautionary tale to any of these players looking to leave the program. Because look, I know Nate Oates has not won a national championship. I know that he has not won a Final Four game. But to sit here and act like Nate Oates is not one of the, top five coaches in college basketball right now is just ludicrous. So you are almost definitely transferring to a worse situation where you're led by a worse coach, where you will be playing with worse players. And that's got to suck a little bit. So I think it should really be a cautionary tale to any players on the roster currently. Grass ain't always greener.
I don't have much more on that. I just think it's fascinating. I am still upset. I search my heart, and I will be upset when I see Modi in a Kentucky uniform. But I think that's a loss. But I see Nick Pringle back in the portal. And Pringle's fine here. I mean, Pringle's fun. A lot of fun here.
Yeah.
Alabama's had a lot of players transfer out. Jason Holt comes to mind.
I forgot about him.
Hawkins,
I really thought he was going to be good.
Hawkins, Charles
Raymond Hawkins.
Raymond Hawkins. Yep. It's just the nature of the beast. And so next year when Alabama loses whatever my favorite player is again, just remind me. And because Mo D will be either going to the NBA or in obscurity. It'll be like, what would be a good job in Kentucky? Would he be like distillery man, bourbon distillery?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, like horse racing. I'm trying to think of a high end job, like a good like
make him the face of a bourbon brand, you know, a really high end one.
But then but you're probably having conflict with us.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah, you're probably sure there probably is a bit of conflict there.
Right.
Maybe get Mo D. You know, get him working with some thoroughbred horses and get him into that line of work. There's a lot of money there.
Well, Mo, we miss you. We wish you the best. But now I'm
probably fight a horse if you needed to.
I'm done fretting about it after seeing the last class all re-enter the portal again because they all made bad decisions or they all made money chasing decisions and didn't work out for them. Did you see Conway Vinny get a lot of people yesterday? People. When will you learn?
My favorite, the best response on it, and it was one of the first, it was just, I hate how many of our dumb fans will fall for this, and exactly how I feel.
If you didn't see it on the Twitter machine yesterday, Conway Vinny, I'm pretty sure his handle is All Things Tied or All Tied 24 like or something. It's a troll. It's not real, but essentially goes out and says Mark Sears is petitioning the NCAA for an extra year of eligibility. And people buy it. People eat it up. Conway gets all kinds of people. That tweet made it into my group chat from a non-Alabama fan saying,
"Did you see this?"
Basically using it to take to disparage Mark, saying, "Look, he can't make it. He needs to get a job. He's got a real job." It's like, buddy, that's fake. Just before you get all upset, before you jump to your not real.
This is just the world. This is the world that we live in where it's so easy to get people like that with the verification system on various social medias. It's unfortunate. Used to be a lot easier to spot the fake ones. Now you have to actually do your due diligence a little bit.
Last thing on the basketball track before we get to our conversation with Tom Canterbury, Crimson Tide Sports Network, as Alabama and Oklahoma are facing off in softball this weekend. A couple months ago, my man Hunter DeCyber writes a great feature on LeBaron Filon. Got really good pub. I'm proud of Hunter. He should be proud of himself. And you should go read it at BamaCentral.com. You can see a great drawing if you haven't already seen it from LeBaron at like fifth grade, sixth grade. But he's writing it, and we're conversing about it. And he's like, you know, he got the idea at the start of the year. LeBaron goes on a tear. And then kind of had a little cool off of the SEC play. He's like, oh, I don't even know if I don't know how I feel about this. And I said, yeah, you still need to go for it because he's going to be a one-and-done player. This is the only chance you're going to get for it. And you know, by this feature, it'll be worth it to you.
Sure.
I do think the feature is worth it to him.
Great story.
Yeah. So regardless of what happens with LeBaron, well done to you, Hunter.
I'm not sure about that one.
Looks like I was wrong. I'm seeing lots of mock drafts that don't even have LeBaron listed, and I'm saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Look, we'll pay whatever, you know, 500, 600, 700, 800,
9? I don't think he's getting a million. But
if we believe that Mark got 8 last year,
I would say you are in the
750
range.
All right. And
I would think. I don't know. Again.
Yeah, and are we leaning towards locked LeBaron Filon starting toward to be locked in back in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't let him go away.
Not in NBA. There's no world where he goes, gets feedback, and stays. Because he's going. He's going to go to the draft. Yeah, he's going to get the feedback.
There's certainly a world, I guess, where he goes and, you know, meets with a couple people and performs in front of some folks. And they tell him, hey, buddy, there's a chance. You know, we're looking at you maybe into the first round. I think it's pretty unlikely at this point. But I think that's the only thing that will keep him from coming back. to college. Now, I don't know if he, you know, there would be a lot of other things that would just decide where he plays in college if he comes back. But I think anything less than a, hey, but you're going to get drafted in the first round, he's coming back to college. And I don't think that he's going to get that kind of feedback.
Well, awesome. I mean, I do hope for you, Baron, that you are eventually that.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be very, very happy for him if he does, if he is a first round draft pick this year. I want to make that very clear. Like, I'm not going to be upset if he does leave and go to the NBA, get drafted. That's awesome for him. Just given what I have seen, you know, the amount of stuff I've read about it, what I've looked at, I don't think that he is going to be. So, yeah, if you're Alabama, you got to lock that in. Do not let him get off of the campus if he is coming back to college.
Mason, what did you say 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago about BYU and their money?
That they're about to be a problem.
Do you believe this bleep that I sent you last night?
I do believe it.
At like 1 a.m. or whatever time?
I do believe it.
I sent Mason this tweet, Rob Wright from Baylor.
I don't even know what he did last year.
Are you a good player?
I believe that they spent this.
I mean, the reporter is really got himself a decent little following. All right, Rob Wright last year at Baylor, 35 games, 11.5 points a game. 11.5 points a game, 4.2 rebounds, 4.2 assists, 2 rebounds a game. 11 points, 4 rebounds. I said that backwards because I always go rebounds first. 11 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds a game. And what's your percentage here, buddy? 3-point percentage. Come on. Something's got to be outstanding about you. No. Your 3-point percentage is 35%. This man is 6'1", 183 pounds. Grayson Grundhofer tweets, and Grayson Grundhofer's background is director of broadcasting and recruiting analyst, co-host for Bearcats 3500, college football analyst, Sikkim 365, some Baylor network, largest online Baylor community, 14,000 followers. He tweets, a source close to the situation tells me that Rob Wright to BYU is a done deal. And the NIL amount is $3.5 million.
Somebody just sneezed and came up with that. That's dude, nothing.
What?
Nothing to him.
What? You're going to... What did we say? 11 points, 4 assists, and 2 rebounds a game. Okay, what year are you even? You're a sophomore. This is a rising sophomore. This is
he's got promise.
Hold on. That was Rob Wright. What is LeBaron Filon?
So what are we up to now for BYU's roster next year? That was 10 million, right? 10
yeah, DeBats is seven yeah. seven in chains, right?
So
LeBaron needs to go to Yale, Alabama right now. Right now.
Please no, LeBaron. Please don't.
LeBaron averaged 10.6 points a game. 3.8 assists, a little lower. 3.3 rebounds, a little higher. A little lower points, a little lower assists, a little higher rebounds. $3.5 million? I'm never going to the NBA. I'm playing in college forever. BYU, what do you want me to do, BYU? For my 35 games a year. Where my 35 games a year where my meals are catered. And of course they're catered to the NBA, but like once you're in the hotel room of the NBA, you know, you're on your own.
It's on you, buddy.
Right. Once you're,
honestly, it's not even guaranteed that all your meals are going to get catered because I mean, I know some NFL teams don't even give players three meals a day or two meals a day.
Right. So you're getting your $40 per diem or whatever at the NBA and you can go to order DoorDash or I can just have all my stuff. Just roll like college is a dream. $3.5 million. Are you sure you believe this?
I believe that they certainly have the money to do that, and I think that it would be nothing for them to get together a deal that way.
But what does that do to the market? What
I don't think they care because they can outspend everybody.
They don't care. But I'm being selfish here. How do we?
No.
How does Nate? Nate. Big fan, supporter, what you do? How in the world does he keep up?
I don't know. You don't? I mean, I don't think you do. This is why I said it months ago. BYU is going to be a massive problem with all of this moving forward. It
little
is starting
BYU.
Now.
Little old BYU.
Four-star tight end. He's from Utah, sure, but like he was heavily recruited by a lot of the top programs across the country. Brock Harris going to BYU. Like they are going to be a force, and it is just because they can spend more than anyone else. Gotta get some kind of cap.
Well, Alabama, so lucky to be playing to draw BYU in the Sweet 16. So lucky.
Do your own research. You know, I urge anybody to do look into it yourself. Find out all of the assets and things that the Mormon Church has at their disposal, and you will be shocked.
God, $3.5 million for Robert. Were you a 5-star? Were you a McDonald's All-American? Rob Wright, come on, please be a McDonald's, but be something. Rob Wright, recruiting. Let's find out. Recruiting. You had an okay freshman year. You had a good freshman year, a really good freshman year. All Big 12 freshmen, great. Right? Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. I'm not trying to disparage you at all, but like $3.5 million, is that good? I don't think so. As a prospect, four-star prospect, number one point guard, number 23 overall player out of Florida per 24/7. Montverde. Oh. You see this school, Montverde Academy. My man's played with Cooper Flagg last year.
There we go.
So
there we go.
We want to get that Cooper Flagg rub.
Yeah, there we go. Oh. This is the world we live in now.
But how do I keep caring about it? Alabama basketball when I know that NATO does not have $3.5 million to give to one single player.
Maybe we can't be fans of players anymore.
Right.
Yeah, right. You gotta only think about the name on the front of the jersey, not about the name on the back.
But I want the name on the front of the jersey to win. And in order to do that, we gotta put some jokers in there with some talent.
I mean, you're still gonna get them. It's not like there's only 15 spots on a roster. BYU can't get every player in the country. It's, you know, not every team can pay them the money they can. So,
Did you see Duke?
They come to Alabama and say, hey, BYU's offering me $5 million. They're going to say, we can't pay it. Duke's going to say, we can't pay it. North Carolina's going to say, we can't pay it. UCLA, we can't. Like, any of these teams will not pay that.
Did you see Duke's kind of NIL kind of buzz?
No.
$20 million for John Shire. Unlimited resource. The limit does not exist. You've done enough. Whatever you like, sir, is what I read.
It's an interesting decision. He's good.
You blew it.
Yeah, you had the greatest college basketball team ever assembled, and you couldn't win. I don't really, you know.
Dr. Kenny Pomeroy said number one team in the last 20 years.
I don't really know that I'm back that I'm, you know, giving you carte blanche for that.
All right, Mason, I'm about to send us out of here, and we're going to talk to Tom Canterbury of Crimson Tide Sports Network. Unless you got any more for the people, we need to start sending this thing to the finish line.
No, I think that's all I got for today.
All right, bet. So what we're going to do is tell you about Warren Tire and Auto, and then we are going to play our interview. We talked to Tom Canterbury yesterday about Alabama and Oklahoma's softball series this weekend, and we touched on Monday Night Raw just a little bit. So we are going to hear from Tom Canterbury right after these messages.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961, my granddad on University Boulevard. So we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
On Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. And let's turn our attention to the weekend. We already talked about A-Day. It's going to be a lot of fun watching Alabama practice. But once the Crimson Tide is done, you guys all need to make your way over. You probably already had your tickets. Maybe they're sold out to the Rhodes House to watch Alabama take on Oklahoma. And to do that, set up this week's series, I'm very, very honored to have Tom Canterbury, the voice of the Crimson Tide Sports Network of Alabama softball on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. And you guys can check him out at T Canterbury RTR on the Twitter machine. Tom, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Oh, having a great day so far. Getting ready for a busy, busy weekend. It's Masters weekend, and we just had the Final Four, so the sports calendar is really, really in high gear. You guys had a huge weekend as well, and maybe the unfortunate on the results side, but the AP poll still says this Alabama softball team is a really quality team, and we've seen that. I've seen that with my own eyes 2 weeks ago, watching them play and beat Georgia, winning their first SEC series of the season. Since the last time we checked in on you, I think we've played two or three SEC series. How are we feeling about these? The softball girls are still just right there.
Yeah, I agree. They're very, very close. It is a team that has a blend of both experience and youth, and it is still trying to like gel together. And hopefully that's going to happen here. It needs to happen this week for things to go well, but as we move toward, there's only 13 regular season games left. We're not that far away from postseason play. So hopefully they'll all get joined together by then. But you definitely see a lot of the flashes and the possibilities of a very high ceiling for this team still too. But the problem is you're running into teams that are kind of playing at their ceiling. And that's where you got, at this past weekend in Baton Rouge against the top five LSU team. You definitely saw that on Friday night when Alabama just got blitzed by LSU. The Tigers had three runs in the bottom of the first inning before, I had finished the pregame reads basically. And, you were in too big of a hole. You had a couple of opportunities, but Sidney Brezon was pitching extremely well for LSU and kept Alabama off balance the entire game. But then game two, it was a 2-1 LSU win, but Alabama had great chances. They had they unfortunately left the bases loaded twice in both the fifth and the seventh inning. So you knew you were right there. And then game three, you kind of finally put it all together. And, what we talk about, you don't get swept at Alabama. Alabama's not been swept in a three-game series since 2013. And there's nobody else in the conference that can say anything close to that. And the reason why is because of what you saw on Sunday, a really good performance all the way around, both in the circle and at the plate by Alabama. Got a good win and some positive vibes moving forward to Oklahoma this next weekend.
Absolutely. The girls are going to be in action in Rhodes Stadium on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's going to be a three-game set this weekend against number 2 Oklahoma Saturday at 3 o'clock, Sunday at 5, and then Monday at 6 o'clock. So three really great times, honestly, to check out some high-level softball here in Tuscaloosa. You can see them on Saturday on ESPN2. But really, you're going to be, if you're not in town listening to the game on Catfish 100.1 and their app to listen to Tom Canterbury on Crimson Tide Sports Network. All right, so we've seen the team make some progressions, and as we said, the team is close. I've, in my amateur eye, see some pretty good pitching from Jocelyn Brisky and really her counterpart, Caitlin Riley. Maybe behind those two question marks, I see just maybe one of the best-looking athletes on campus, and Audrey Vandegrift, just walking offense, really. How do we get the pieces to gel together in a more cohesive manner? Or is that really, I guess, the mystery question?
Yeah, and there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle that are really, really good. It's just, and I think Alabama has all those right pieces there. It's like you said, it's just finding, putting them together in the right spots. Audrey Vandegrift is one of the premier leadoff batters in the conference, if not the country, as a true freshman. We saw what she was able to do. She struggled both Friday and Saturday at LSU, but then she had a big three-run homer, which ended up being the insurance Alabama needed to win that game 8-5 on Sunday. So she is a true five-tool player. It is absolutely impossible to find a way to defend her. If you aren't able to strike her out, which has been her only possible bugaboo this year, has been the K's are probably a little bit higher than she wants them to be. If she puts it in play, it's impossible to defend because she is so fast. Kayla Bro, who is assistant coach for the team, obviously, and an all-time great at Alabama, probably has been considered the fastest player in program history, and Bro will tell you that Audrey's faster. So, you know, I will take her word for it. And so she is so fast, a normal two hop ground out to short, she can beat it out. If she gets it on the ground, more times than not, she's going to beat that out. Plus, she has that power piece as well. So Vandergriff at the top of the order sets the table so well. It's just it's vital for the rest of, you know, whoever batting behind her to eat that meal that she puts out for her. Larissa Prude has done a great job of that at times. We've also seen her move up and down the order. She's done well in the five hole. Callie Hevlin has been outstanding this year as a senior. And, you know, she moved up to the two hole on Sunday, and it's interesting to see if that's going to be the answer moving forward or how that's going to work out. So you just need a little bit more from the power pieces behind Vandergriff offensively. Pitching wise, we have not seen a shutdown ace that's going to go out there and just blow people away for seven innings like Kayla Beaver and Montana Fouts could do. Jocelyn Brisky has shown flashes of that, but has not really kind of been able to do it for seven innings. So it's finding the combination. All right, if Brisky's going to start, you know, who's going to come in the fifth or the sixth? It's like finding that right combination. Or do we start somebody else and then let Brisky come in the third inning and finish things off? So again, the pieces are all there. It's just finding how to put them all together. Also, a shout out to Caitlin Riley, I think has probably been the most consistent pitcher for Alabama this year, to the point where she also is not going to be one that is probably going to go seven innings on a regular basis. So finding the right combos and pulling the trigger at the right time. And, you know, there's a little bit of you have to change your mindset a little bit, because if you're Patrick Murphy, you're used to being able to put a starter out there and then maybe put somebody in the seventh inning if you have to. But, you know, now it's changing the mindset a little bit. All right, let's start with somebody that's going to go once or twice through the order and then make that change regardless of what the situation of the game is. And so there's just a lot of different ways you can go. The pieces are all there, but, you know, it's kind of a day-to-day situation.
We're talking to Tom Canterbury of Crimson Tide Sports Network. You follow him at T Canterbury RTR. So I'm just going to ask you a pointed question. Is it, what do you think the issue is preventing them from putting, or what might prevent them from putting the pieces together? Is it inexperience? Maybe nerves? Do you think it's, well, as you might have alluded, when Coach Murphy is making what decision? Well, what do you think might be the reason the team has struggled to put it together?
Well, I think a lot of the reason is the rest of the SEC is dang good. And so I think, you know, it's, you're playing games where if you're just a little bit off and the opponent isn't a little bit off, you can get run ruled really quickly. And you can not even be playing poorly. And just, you know, if the other team is finding the holes and you're not, it can get out of hand quickly. Now, that being said, I think that, you know, it is some of a mindset, I think, that has to be, you know, and that's, you know, I can't get in the athletes' heads, but I think that's kind of the part, is that it's not anything that's happened so far this year. I can tell you at 100%, it is not from lack of effort, because I've seen players literally this weekend. I saw them getting swings in the parking lot at the hotel, trying to figure things out and work things out. So the players want it to go well. So, well, maybe they want it too much. Maybe they have to pull back. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways you can go. I think a lot of it is mindset. And, you know, when you come to Alabama to play softball, the expectations, because they're very, very high. And the reason why you come to Alabama is because you're a great softball player. So it's just, you know, finding that right mindset when things aren't necessarily going right. And, you know, the track record certainly says that Alabama will find that way to make that happen.
Well, just like last year, as things were kind of maybe not going smoothly as you'd like from an Alabama fan perspective, just like last year, I'm seeing Miss Katie Windham Wright, Alabama 18th in RPI, sitting right there and still holding strong to be in a good spot to even host a regional. So things are going well. So let's look to this weekend. Great opportunity. When the Oklahoma and Texas were announced to come to the SEC, this was kind of one of the Rose is one of the high points that Alabama fans were looking forward to. Oklahoma and Alabama in softball. So Oklahoma comes to town, number two in the country. Obviously, the last time you were on with us, you mentioned that they had a high turnover. I'm looking at their Sooner stat sheet and still see three ladies with over 10 home runs. And so I'm seeing maybe a lot of power right there with the Sooners lineup. What's coming into Tuscaloosa this weekend?
Yeah, they're obviously still really, really good. As we talked about last time, when you graduate literally the most successful senior class in the history of the sport, the only class that has ever won four national championships in a row, no matter what you do, and you're going to be compared to them fairly or unfairly. So if you compare this Oklahoma team to, say, last year's Oklahoma team, there are more flaws on this Oklahoma's team. They're obviously still a top five team in the country. They've lost, three games as a whole, two in the SEC, or maybe all three of them. In the
34-3. They are they're 9-3 in the conference.
Right. So they've lost three conference games. It's been a while since they've lost three conference games in a year. But that shows you how much better the SEC is in the Big 12, top to bottom. Because one of those losses for Oklahoma is to Missouri, who's either last or next to last in the conference. So, it is a team that probably doesn't have the era of invincibility that some of the other Oklahoma teams have, but they still have that OU logo on their batting helmets, and they'll come out there. And, this is the first time Alabama has played Oklahoma in Tuscaloosa since the 2015 Super Regionals, when Marissa Runyon hit the home run to send Alabama to Oklahoma City. First time Alabama's played Oklahoma in a regular season game since 2016. So this is one that, as you mentioned, when it was announced that Texas and Oklahoma are coming to the SEC, it was circled that as soon the first time Alabama hosts Oklahoma, it is going to be just a massive weekend. The fact that it's in Tuscaloosa on a day weekend, it's a Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Patrick Murphy just won his 1,300th game at Alabama. The only two active head coaches who have won 1,300 games or more at their current school is Patrick Murphy and Patty Gasso, the head coach of Oklahoma. So it is just, for all the reasons, a marquee matchup. Do I wish Alabama was ranked a little bit higher entering this weekend? Sure. But Alabama, as I mentioned, certainly has the capability to give Oklahoma all they want and win this series. But they have to come closer to reaching that ceiling that is available to them talent-wise for the Crimson Tide.
Alabama in a three-game set, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You can still buy tickets on RollTide.com. I just clicked on it, and so you can still buy tickets.
I think I saw that it's very, very close to sellouts on both Saturday and Sunday, so get on that really quickly. And Monday, there are still tickets available there too. So Monday night's going to be, that's the mic'd up Monday they do on the SEC network. So Patrick Murphy, we mic'd up, but DVR that one and come on out, because it's going to be quite the atmosphere for all three games.
Absolutely. We will have to put Monday Night Raw on DVR next Monday, which will be
It's on Netflix. Day. You can get it whenever. You can just,
exactly.
Video on demand. That's why it's so good.
So, and that is one thing that Tom and I have a mutual interest in, mutual love for. We're what, two weeks away from WrestleMania now? Last time we were on, we were talking Jey Uso and Gunther, and that situation, that story has heated way, way up. And I think really, really done a really nice job setting that up. I'll just ask you, how did you feel Monday Night Raw this past Monday? Seth Rollins, they're all in the Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and Paul Heyman all in the ring, kind of bantering about this three-way match. How do you feel about WrestleMania now? We're two weeks away.
I think, that there has certainly been overall some issues with the build. I understand people are saying, well, then this particular build has been weak or this one has been weak. But I think, one is that, as I've talked about, there is so much more time between the last pay-per-view and WrestleMania than there has been in the past. So they're trying to, gauge. We've known Jey Uso was going to go against Gunther for almost 2 months. So that is a long time to build up a single match. So I think they're trying to figure out exactly how to do a build where it doesn't peak way too early before before the actual match happens. And I think they've actually done a really good job with Jay and Gunther doing that. So I think even with the issues they've had with the builds, I think now they're kind of getting to the right spot where they need to be, doing a great job of blurring the lines of, you know, of reality and, you know, working and shooting that type of stuff. Cause you know, a lot of the CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns, a lot of that stuff, it's all based in reality. Like there is truth behind a lot of what they're saying. Now they're working and they've ramped it up, but you know, the fact that there is reality behind it makes, I mean, those are the best, you know, real life feuds make money. So that is what they're doing. And I think they're doing a great job with that. I've really enjoyed, because none of those three guys are true baby faces or true heels.
True.
So they're, and then you add the Paul Heyman of it all thrown in. It's, you know, it is truly unpredictable how they're going to go with it, which means it's awesome.
Last real quick, get your reaction to the Charlotte Tiffany segment from last Friday that went off the rails. I loved it, but what did you think?
I still wonder how much of that really was off script or how much that was real, you know, that means they're doing it right, I guess. But yeah, it was crazy, and it made what does it make you do? It makes you want to watch the match. This is all about. Why does Raw and SmackDown exist? To make you watch the pay-per-view. And that's what this is for. And man, I'm a Charlotte Flair guy. I have socks of Charlotte Flair. She is the queen. And I saw there was somebody that said, well, if Charlotte Flair wins this match, people are going to boo. It's like, well, I guess she's the heel. So yeah, people will boo. That's kind of the point. I think Tiffany's going to win, but we'll see. I think they have done a great job, whether they meant to or not, of making this a, you know, what could have been kind of a afterthought of a match, very, very important. Now, the thing is, they actually have to deliver it, the match itself. And I think both of those are two of the most athletic workers on the roster, male or female, but definitely of the females, that I think is going to be, they're going to do a great job.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and Tom and I will be watching it, and we'll talk about it. Yep. Tom, I will catch up with you this weekend, as you're going to be working very hard, calling Alabama and Oklahoma. Tell everybody where they can find you. Download the Catfish app and everything, every way that they can listen to your coverage. Will you guys have the booth cam this weekend?
I believe so. I'm not sure which games of the weekend we will have it. We will have the booth cam. I would think definitely on Monday, but there may be one. I think Ethan might be a little busy on Saturday with 8-8 and all that stuff, but hopefully Sunday, but definitely Monday we'll have the booth cam, which is available at all Crimson Tide Sports Network social media pages. You can listen to us over the air, 100.1 FM, Catfish in Tuscaloosa, catfishtuscaloosa.com. The Catfish app, also the Varsity app, is a great resource. All Crimson Tide Sports Network products are on the Varsity app. So all broadcasts are there. So, and you can kind of, you can go back and listen to those on demand too. So definitely get that Varsity app.
Tom, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Joe.
Absolutely. That's Tom Canterbury joining us on a Wednesday, and you guys need to get out to the Rhodes House to watch Alabama and Oklahoma. You're already coming into town for 8-8. 8-8 will be wrapping up, you know, 1:30, 2 o'clock. You will be going over to the Rhodes House for Alabama softball. Alabama, it's going to be at 3 o'clock on Saturday, 5 on Sunday, and 6 o'clock on Monday. We'll be right back to close the show right here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com.
And we appreciate Tom Canterbury joining us. We appreciate all you guys for tuning in today to the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Y'all checked us out on the Bama Central YouTube channel. Harrison Montague replied to me on the Twitter machine and said that I got his name a little bit wrong, so I want to make sure it was right. We want to congratulate Harrison Montague for winning the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central's Bracket Challenge this year. We want to thank everybody who participated and who played. We definitely want to thank Warren Tyron Auto for sponsoring the program. We want to thank Derek Daniel for hosting the show. Derek Daniel at State Farm. You can call him for all of your insurance needs. 205-758-3391. We're going to get out of here for the day. We'll talk to Katie Wendham tomorrow on the program, and you, the listener, the viewer, right here here on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central at BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.